But I want to start today by sharing a couple personal stories first before I get in the message. And we'll get to the kids in a second, but this is going to actually go to my parents and my wife's parents. My dad did not come from a saved family. He did not come from a Christian family. His dad was an alcoholic, and he met someone. I think it was the guy who did his hair, and who's a Christian, and he worked with my dad and shared Christ with him, and eventually led him to the Lord. And then he decided to go to a Bible college, and that's where he met my mom, who did come from a Christian home. And kind of goes back to when we did our Friends Day, and just the encouragement to you to be witnessing, because you never know when you'll witness to someone and be able to start a line of Christian families, because obviously we grew up in a Christian home, and now we're able to raise our children up in a Christian home and with God's values and with God's word. And my wife's family as well, they were not saved when they were growing up, and it ended up, I think, Jehovah's Witnesses came to their door and talked to them, and they got in a study with them, and then they kind of started looking at God's word, and then they kind of ended up leading them to another church, and they saw some things in there that didn't quite mesh with what the Jehovah's Witness mindset was. But then they were able to become saved and raise up their kids, especially Julie, as in a Christian home. And of course, that led to, again, us being able to have a Christian home and raise our children for the Lord. And you'll see in a second how that is important. The other thing is, and again, just a reminder for us to be witnessing and to sharing our faith, and you just never know who you're going to reach. The second thing is, when I was out in Chicago, for those of you who don't know, I did After Word of Life for a year. I went to a trade school for heating and air conditioning out in northwest, I think, suburb of Chicago, and went to a place called UTI. And of course, I had gone from Word of Life, which was a big Christian bubble, and it's all Christian up there, and we're all on the same page. And then I went right from that back into, I grew up in a public school, so I was used to it, but right into where everybody's doing their own thing, and mostly guys, so there's a lot of sexual jokes and inappropriate jokes, and even from the teachers and things like that. So I wanted to find a church that because there were actually some, it was about 6 hours away, and there were actually some that were from my hometown that had gone, like there's one of my friends that had gone the year earlier, and he actually went home every week, but I didn't want to spend the money on gas and do that. So I wanted to find a good church that I could have as my family there. And so I was looking around, and I'd gone to this place called Wheaton Bible Church. I've shared with the teens before and with others before, but I was standing in the back, there was a kid that finally I was about ready to leave, and the guy came back and introduced himself, and that's a good encouragement for you to to find the person that maybe is new here, and I think we're good at that, but welcoming them, because I almost walked out, but thankfully he welcomed me and I found a good home there. But I say all that to say, there was a guy there that was working with the youth. He was a youth pastor at the time there at Wheaton Bible Church, and his name was Rob Renau. And I don't know if I'm saying that last name right, but he has since moved on from there. And he wrote this book that I kind of came across as God's been kind of working with me and showing me how important, and obviously we do Awana and we do a lot of things for children here, but how important the parents are with the children. And teaching them and training them, because we do, looking at these Awana kids and looking at past names of kids that have come through and we've had in the program, and then once they're to a certain age, their parents aren't involved in church, and so they're gone. And so in that journey that God's been leading me on and trying to show me, maybe we're missing something here, maybe there's some things that we need to be doing to reach parents and encourage parents. I came across this book, and Rob has actually started a ministry, and they've partnered with Awana. And it's a ministry to parents. This book, as I read through it, it challenged me, and I wanted to kind of use a lot of it to share with you and challenge you. So some of this comes from that book and from the thoughts in that book. So before we go any further, let's pray. God, I just thank you so much for your word. And God, your desire and your plan for us. And Lord, we know that we don't always do your plan. We don't always make the right steps and the right choices. And, And a lot of times we end up struggling because of it. And God, I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your love. But again, that we would go to your word and we would go to you for everything. And Lord, I just pray that as you've spoken to me and as you've worked in my heart and as you continue to challenge me and my wife to say, we want to serve the Lord. We want to love the Lord with all our hearts and soul, mind and strength. Lord, that would be our cry. And God, this year as we focus on families and as we really try to encourage families to grow closer to each other, but more importantly, closer to you. Lord, that you would work and move in our midst. And that you would show us clearly what we need to do. God, speak through me. Use me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to turn to a passage that maybe you're familiar with, Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6. And we'll look at verse 4. And while you're turning there, this, of course, was to the Israelites. And you know the Israelites were God's chosen people at the time. God chose them to be a light. And he wanted to work in them. He wanted to be their God, and they would be his people. And as we fast forward to our age with the church age, God wants the exact same things for us. He wants us to be a light. He wants our families to be a light to those around us. He wants us to be teaching our children God's word. So keep that in mind as we go through this. Verse 4 starts, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children," verse 7, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." And before we get into that passage, in this book here, he starts out by saying, is your parenting a success? Do you want to be a successful parent? And you might measure success differently than someone else would measure success. And we might measure success here as a parent different than the world would. And he mentions, what is the ultimate success as a parent? Is it your children's future income? That they get the best job and financially are secure? Is it their education? That they get the best education possible, whether it's Penn State or whether it's doctor, master's, doctor's degree, so that they can get the best job? Is it their social status? Or even last night, we know the snowball was last night, and they had their dance, and all the girls got prettied up, and the guys got presentable. And is it beauty? To have your kid, the most beautiful kid that walks into the room, or adult that walks into the room, and everyone looks at them? We know for some, that's, you know, Honey Boo Boo, I think is her name. You know, everybody's focused on this. You know, that mother would say, "I'm a success, because look at my daughter. She's walking runways." But we remember the Bible says, not many wise, not many noble, not many of these people. That's not the ultimate success in God's eyes and according to God's word. But he says, whether your child gets safely home to heaven and is equipped to lead future generations there. And I added, and also to see that their parents loved God with all their heart. And to pass that word and that the God's word and that love onto their kids. That's a successful parent. And we don't have time to spend with all of the, you know, depending on what age you're talking about, all the different problems that we have as parents parenting kids. There's a lot of them. Not all kids are the same, and you can't parent the same with even some of your own kids, and you guys know that. I know that. But getting back to verse, and specifically verses 4 through 6, I wanted to look at the first point. Before we can look at our kids and how we want our kids to be, we've got to look at ourselves. And giving us this command, he says, first of all, you're to love God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul, with all your strength. It starts with that love. for God. It starts with us, my wife, myself, as parents, loving God. And as you think of, if you love things, do you find time to do them? Do you spend time doing what you love? Most times, yes, we just got done with the rifle season, deer hunting. Okay, there's some of you that love doing that. My dad was one of those people that he just can't get enough of that. And so no one has to say, hey, you know, time to clean your guns, time to go out and get the deer. No, you're ready, and you're waiting. You've been counting down the days. No one has to tell me. I love sports, and specifically a few teams. And people know what teams I love, and they know, and I know when they're on. I know when I can watch them, and I'm going to do everything I can to watch them and keep up to date as to what players doing this and how many they scored and these kind of things. But if you love something, you'll find time to do it. And no one's going to have to be prying you and pushing you and reminding you. There's a lot of other things that people love and they do. They spend time with fitness. We got a lot of runners in this church. We got a lot of runners in town. And you see them anytime you get in your car and go anywhere. It can be freezing out. They love it. I know people would talk to Rob and say, what is wrong with you? We don't understand this. We had that discussion New Year's Eve night. It's like he's talking about running and the freezing cold up a mountain and the snow. And it's just like, but when you love something, you find time to do it. And you enjoy doing it. And no one has to push you and say, all right, it's time to go run, Rob. It's time to go run. And sports, TV, movie, entertainment. There's some people that they know when their show's on and they're going to get to that show and they're going to watch because they love that show. I have certain shows I like. Or Facebook, the internet, the phone. For the kids, it's the video games. They love those video games and they're on that 24/7. That's what they love to do. And no one has to encourage them to do that because they love it and they're going to find time to do it. Work. Some of us love it, although we don't say it. We say it, maybe we say we don't love work, but we're working all the time. And maybe it's we don't love the work, but we love the money that comes with the work. We love that security. And so we work, and our kids take a back seat. Our wife takes a back seat. Our husband take a back seat. There's that song by Casting Crowns I've talked to Larry Sprankle about doing, The American Dream. And it talks about the fact that you can get so, and I'm doing it for the right reasons, they think. But then you look back at the end, and you're like, I wasted all that time. Because I was so concerned for whether it's security or the money. Speaking of money, the rich man that came to Jesus. Jesus said, well, did you do these commands? And he said, oh, I've done them all. But Jesus knew what his love was. He said, okay, well, take all your money that you have and give it to the poor. Because Jesus knew what his love was. He pressed that spot, and what does it say? It says the man went away sorry. He went away sad. I can't do that. That's my security. That's my love. So people know, if many of us have been at this church for a long time and we know each other, and we could probably make an open forum and start pointing to people and say, okay, what does he love to do? What is his love? What is this person's love? And like I mentioned with Rob, and we'll know them because we see these people and we see what they spend their time on and we know what their priorities are. We know what they love. People aren't stupid. They know that. It's same in church, you know, in Awana. I mean, there's people that you could say, this person loves to serve. This person loves to be here. This person will do anything because he loves God and wants to serve God. And we could easily point to others and say, you know what? I think that's probably more of a thing where somebody asked them and they said, oh, you sure there's no one else? Teach junior church or teach Sunday school? Are you sure you looked? I mean, what about this person? What about that person? Can they teach? Okay, well, if there's nobody else. And you begrudgingly do it every week and you complain or you just, you know, it's not something that is your first love and is your desire. And we have some Awana leaders that come. My father-in-law is one of them. He just loves Awana. He loves the opportunity to get down with these kids and get into their lives and knowing that can produce something and that can have an effect. And he's already seen it with one girl and he's shared that before. And others that you know are there because they love these kids. And yeah, there's struggles and yeah, there's this and that. But they want to spend that time because they know that there's something good that can come from that. But people aren't stupid. We're not stupid. We can see And we can observe, and most times we'll hit the nail on the head. Not always. I know looks can be deceiving, but most times a pattern will form, and you'll show what you love. So when God tells us to love Him with all our heart and soul, mind and strength, are people going to see that and say, that person loves God with all his heart, all his soul, all his mind and strength? And I say, people know, and I want to transition this to kids know. Kids know as parents what they love. They can see it. And if you say, well, I love my kid, but you're not spending time with them, they know that. They also know that maybe dad says, all right, son, come on, let's go sit down. NASCAR's on, and we got to watch NASCAR. And they sit, and they don't miss it. Every time it's on, the kid and him are sitting there watching it. But every Sunday morning, maybe the kids will go off to church with mom, and he's not there. Well, what does that kid know that dad loves? Not church, not God. Spends the time throughout the week, and he talks about NASCAR all the time, but he doesn't talk about God's Word. Well, the kid's not dumb. He knows. Dad loves NASCAR. Dad doesn't love God. Our kids will see what's most important to us as parents. And this is something that I've seen over and over again, I've started to kind of push back on it. And I even mentioned it. There was one kid parent I was talking to on the phone that was sending their kid to Awana, and they said, "Yeah, I think my kid." And you'll hear this all the time. Parents say, "My kid needs to be in church. My kid needs to be in church. I think it's important for my kid." But the parents are at home, and so you're telling your kid, "Yeah, it's important for you to be at church." Well, what about you? It's not important for you? No, just you. I got to give you that base when you're young, and then let it go when you're old. That's so common. Or a family comes to church every Sunday or most Sundays, and they'll be there, they'll be in their seat, but then the rest of the week, there's nothing. There's no spiritual feeding. There's no, or maybe there's just like a prayer before meal, you know, just the bless this mess, or, you know, God, thank you for this food. Amen. No, it's and what does it become? It becomes a ritual. It's just a tradition. As a matter of fact, at the end of that passage, it talks about binding them on your forehead and on your doorposts. Eventually, the Israelites got to the point where they had these phylacteries. They had these little wooden boxes and these little containers that they'd put a little. They put this verse in, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and some others, and they would, and there's still some Israelites today, and Pastor will probably see them, they're hanging in their hair, and they're on their doors, but it's just tradition. They don't actually follow what that says, and so it can be just a ritual thing, and the kids know that. I try to challenge my kids to not always say the same things when they pray. Why? Because we can get into where it's just, it doesn't mean anything. It's an issue of the heart. And there's that word all your heart, all your heart. And it's hard to do. And we know that. But we have to work at it. It's an action, it's a verb, a DC talk, which is showing my age. But Toby Mack is from DC Talk, and he had written a song called "Love Is a Verb." Love is an action, and so you say you love running, you're gonna do it. If you say you love your wife, you're gonna show her in the things that you do. It's an action, and it's gonna reflect, and people are gonna be able to see it. And it's important to evaluate, and hopefully you've been doing that as you've been listening and thinking, yeah, maybe I'm not doing that, or maybe that's right, maybe I need to, and as we go through this message, the thing we need to do is evaluate us, and that's what I've been doing, and some of the things in this book challenged me, and I had to evaluate and say, boy, I'm missing, that's something I'm missing, and I know we have different seasons of life, and we can be doing something well, and then something happens in our life, and all of a sudden we're doing different things, and so we constantly need to be evaluating where we're at with our love for God, where we're at with showing that with our actions. I have a sheet that I usually try to do with youth events afterwards. And actually, Rob had picked it up and mentioned it to the elders and stuff as doing that with things we do at our church. And I did it with, we just did it with the kids sing after we did our first musical and drama that we've done. And so we sat down and we looked at, well, how did it go? And how can we do it better next time? And what things did we miss? And we just evaluated. We after it's done, looked back and say, well, okay, how'd we do? And what things do we need to improve on? And so I want to challenge us to evaluate our lives. And especially parents, evaluate what we're sharing with our kids. And what are we sharing? And the same with those you guys serving here at the church. What are you showing? Are you begrudgingly serving? And do people know it by the things you say and the little comments you make? But evaluating our lives and our love for God and how it's being played out in our lives by what we do. Loving God as a parent, what are some things that we're going to do if we love God? We're going to love His Word. If I say I love Julie, but I can't stand it when she talks, it's like, hold on, let me go downstairs, turn the TV on, go ahead, now you can talk. If, after a while, she's going to say, I don't think you love me. If you love me, you're going to listen, and listen, and listen, and listen. I have a feeling I'm going to pay for that one later, but... But truthfully, if we say we love God, but we don't love His Word, do we really love Him? And if His Word isn't on our tongues, if it isn't on our lips throughout the week, do we love God? If we have to be pushed to spend time with God, to open His Word, or if we're only doing it once a week on a Sunday morning, do we really love God with all our hearts? No, I doubt it. If I only spent one day a week with Julie, I don't know that, and I was right nearby. It wasn't like my brother who's over in Afghanistan and wherever else he goes in the Air Force. But if I'm right here and I say, okay, I'll see you next week, Julie. We're going to meet once a week. That relationship isn't going to last long. And if it does, it's going to be strained at best. We're going to love His Word. It's going to be in our minds and our hearts. We're going to live it out. Facebook is such a neat tool. And I've seen some of our church people and even some that I know that are Christians from other places, and they do utilize that. They share God's Word on there. You know, but we also use it to complain and to moan and groan, and we've got to be so careful. But it's a great opportunity to share God's Word and to interject God's truth. And I know so many of you are doing it. Prayer. I mentioned prayer. Are you teaching your kids to pray? I mean, it's hard. We try to get kids and teens to pray, and I know there's other factors there, but a lot of our kids don't know how to pray and won't know how to pray unless you teach them and have them do it and have them say other words other than thank you for this food, amen, or God, help me through the night, amen. And that's a small God that they're talking to. This is a huge God we serve. And I know pastors up here many times saying, prayer meeting, prayer meeting, prayer meeting. And I wonder, is the reason our prayer meeting's not bigger is because we don't have prayer in our homes? How are we going to expect people to come here and pray when they don't even pray at home? And I hope that's not true, but maybe there's other reasons. Praying at home, loving God, talking to Him, listening to His Word, sharing His Word. And I won't spend a lot of time on this. Next week we're going to be talking about family and the church, and I'm sure this will come up, but loving God's church. You know, the church, God died for the church. Jesus gave His life for the church. He's the head of the church. He loves the church. And I know it's hard as pastors because we look at attendance and we look at people and it's like, why can't they just be here every week? I mean, why can't they just, you know, and it's easy for us because we're here every week and it's hard because we can get legalistic about that and we can say, you need to be here every time the doors are open. But at the same time, there's some that are just, any excuse will do and you know, if I miss, I miss. And you don't really love God's church, being together. You know, the Bible says, don't forsake assembling yourselves together as some do, but all the more as you see the day approaching. And so many people are saying, yeah, the end's near, the end's near. But if that's true, shouldn't we be more full? Shouldn't we be packed and needing to do two services and build more and all that? there's a funny song that I used to hear called Excuses. And it listed some of the excuses why people would use to miss church. And, you know, the devil will give them. The devil will give them to you. I mean, we can always use that excuse, but our kids are going to see, and they'll grow up, and they'll do the same thing. So if it's something where we love being together with God's people, then they're going to see that, and they're going to understand that and realize that. The church is to be a partner with parents, but I think a lot of times parents have given the church, and you're the one that's going to teach my kids spiritual things, and I'll take care of all the rest. I'll make sure they do well in school and sports and all that other stuff that'll make them successful. The church is not to be the primary spiritual well. That's the parents. And we are here to come alongside you, to work together with you, to help you, but not to take your role. So love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, because that's what your kids are going to see. That's what your family is going to see. That's what everyone's going to see. And they'll know. First thing, that's the first thing. The second thing is pass on the heart of love and obedience. Pass on that to others. First to your children, your family, and then to the world. Be that light. Be reaching out, evangelism, all that. But it starts with your family. And I'm sure there's some here that you don't have kids. You're not, either they're grown up now, or you maybe didn't have kids at all. And I'm sure when Israel was hearing this, there were some in the same boat. And I would encourage you, maybe some of you are grandparents, and you can encourage, maybe some of your kids are not in church, or you can pray for them, you can encourage them, you can share some of this stuff. So I encourage you to stay locked into this. But, or just to find someone in the church and adopt them. There's some that don't have fathers or mothers. Come alongside them and work with them. You can be used in this way. But pass on the heart of love and obedience to God. Look back in there if you're still there. Verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words that I command you today shall be on your hearts. Again, that's dealing with them. But then they transition, and Moses transitions it to you shall teach them diligently to your children. Be diligent in passing this on to them. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. There's some other passages. If you flip over to chapter 10, verse 12. He says, what does the Lord your God require of you? And this kind of goes back to the first point. But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes which I command to you today for your good. And in chapter 11, verse 1, therefore you shall love the Lord your God and keep his charge and his statutes, his judgments, and his commandments always. And I meant to read those, I apologize, before, because that goes to the first point. But going to the second point in Genesis, and you don't have to turn there, but you can if you want, but I'm going to read just a few verses here and jump in different books. But Genesis 18, 19, and this was God talking to Abraham, or talking about Abraham. He said, I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. And as we read in Deuteronomy 6, 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. Talk of them as you sit, when you walk, when you lie down, when you rise. In chapter 11, verse 19, he reiterates it. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you're walking by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. We see in Psalms 78, verse 4, starting in verse 4, the psalmist says, we will not hide them from our children, but tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded to our fathers to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and arise and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And you're familiar with Proverbs, many of you are with Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he's old, he will not depart from it. And I know that's a proverb, that's a wise saying. Doesn't mean it's always true. And I know there's some that they've done the best and their kids are away from God. But more often than not, when we train them, and especially when they see that love of God in our lives, they're going to follow that. And they're going to understand that. 2 Timothy 3:15, talking about Timothy, it says, "And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." And then Ephesians 6:4 says, "Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." And really, it's training and instruction, the admonition. You know, I was talking with my wife a little bit about this message, and she mentioned how important it is as parents to admit sometimes when they're wrong. And I know some parents, and I've, you know, it might be the same with bosses and things like that, they don't admit when they're wrong. And they won't admit that. And as kids have to hear sometimes, you know what, I messed up. You know, I acted out of anger, or I told you to do something that was wrong, or I told you to not do something, and I shouldn't have done that. We need to be willing, and I think that comes with that, don't provoke your kids to anger. And be willing to admit your mistakes to them. And just a side note, but I encourage you, if as a parent, be quick to say, you know what, I was wrong, and help them to see that. And help them to see that forgiveness that they can give, and that God gives you, as well as when you're dealing with your kids and what they've done wrong. But look at the different things mentioned there in chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, verse 7. It says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." And in this book, he goes through those different things. And the first thing is, when you sit in your house, how many of you sit to dinner with your kids? It's interesting that they have, I remember seeing something on TV a while back, I think it was up at the Tyrone Hospital, checking in on somebody, and I remember seeing it there where they said those families, and this wasn't a Christian thing or anything, but those families that eat together and sit together at one time at a meal were healthier. They did drugs less and drank less and all those kind of things. They were less likely to do a lot of that stuff. But so often, I know we're busy, 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 and there's no time, because, you know, even though we've got all this technology, we just are going from one thing to the next, from the minute we wake up to the minute we go to bed. And that can be hard. And he even mentions maybe we need to change our schedules. It's so important. And that's one thing that it's been nice that we've been able, and my wife has pushed this, to make sure we sit down for a meal. And we spend time talking together. And we spend time eating together. If the world realizes that's important, then how much more should we realize that's important? And it says to take that time. Instead of sitting down and turning the TV on or turning a movie on, leave it off and grab a Bible. Or start talking about something that happened that day. And bring it into a spiritual context and how they can understand it spiritually and with a spiritual worldview. So maybe you need to make a schedule change so that you can have that time when you're sitting in your house as a family. The second one they mentioned, as you walk in the way, and they did a lot of walking back then. Some do some running now, but mostly we're in cars, right? Mostly we get in our car, we get our kids in the car, and we drive here, we drive there, we drive everywhere. So are you taking, and this is one that I thought, you know what, I'm a big music guy, so I'm all got music, drives my wife nuts sometimes. And now I got my iPhone, and I got music in there, and I got it playing in my pocket, and I just love music. And so a lot of times I find, and once in a while I'll get into ESPN radio, and so I'll listen to that. And my kid's in the back seat, and this is a great time I could be spending time talking to them. And instead, and it's Christian music, so that's better than nothing. There's some that don't, you know, maybe have a country music station on or some of these other stations, and are wasting that opportunity to be helping their kids hear godly music and get a look at life through a Christian worldview. But drive time. Take time with, quote, scripture together. Pray. Talk about spiritual truth. If you're picking your kid up from school, talk about what happened that day and how they can view that through the Bible and through God's heart for what they should do and how they should react to those things. So we need to evaluate how are we doing in those areas and what can we do to maybe do better in that area or utilize those opportunities. The last two are to lie down and rise up. When you go to bed at night, when you get up in the morning, the greatest times, especially with parents that have young children, the greatest time, and even older kids, maybe that time where they can, and there's no video game playing, there's nothing in the background, the TV's off, and you can sit there and talk to them about some things that they've been struggling with, some things that they've been dealing with, or with their young kids, or maybe even the older kids, you can talk to them about salvation. Or assurance of their salvation. These are great times. I know some parents have to leave before their kids go to school. Maybe write a note, write a spiritual note, write some verses for them. And I was talking to one lady from our church that had done that, and finally her kid wrote back. He maybe even already graduated, but at one time he always acted like, "Oh, come on, Mom, oh, come on," but then he responded, and she realized that really meant more than he let on. And he talks in here about blessings. You know, I remember Bob Smith used to always share that blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face to shine on you. To bless your kids, to speak a blessing over them. Or scripture over them. You know, some people are better at that than others. But talk to them. You know, some of the things, and I put it on Facebook a while back about the fact that at night we have Awana books. A lot of our kids are in Awana, and that needs involvement with parents, and that's a great opportunity for them to go through and work on scripture memory with them at night. Talk about some of the truth that it's talking about in their book, and nothing you even have to buy. I mean, you already have it from Awana, so it's nothing you have to go out and find something else to do. So you could use that. There's so many different tools. I love, I mentioned my iPhone, and I love, you know, before that I had a tablet, and we have, a lot of us have the access to that and the internet, and I know some people think those are the worst things in the world, and everyone's on them and stuff, and that's something where, again, we're evaluating, you know, because I have so many different things on my iPhone, and, you know, I could be reading the Bible, I can read another book, I can be, you know, talking to people, I can be doing a lot of different things, and at some point, there has to be a time where I set that down, But a good thing about that is at night we can go in and I can pull up a devotional on there. I can pull up the Bible on there. I can read verses to them. There's things like in the morning, there's quiet times that Word of Life offers, a quiet time you can get for age, different age kids. Our kids are working through one of those. They have things called Keys for Kids. I grew up listening to them. They're online now. You can go online. It's kind of like a daily bread for kids. You read a passage, then there's a story that kind of deals with that. And then at the end, there's a key that they can, and a key verse, and a key that they can think of for the day. Great opportunities. And I think even going back to loving us and our love for God, and having more of a love for God, if you have a smartphone, I mean, these things you can get Bible reading plans on here. They'll remind you. They'll send you a text reminder. They'll send you pop up with a reminder. You got to read your Bible today. I'm reading through the Bible right now, and it'll keep track of that for you. There's so many opportunities. There's so many good things that you can use those for, and so many tools that you can use. But are we using them? Are we taking those times? When they're going to bed, when they're getting up. You know, if they're teens, they love to text. So text them some scriptures. Text them that you're praying for them. Text them a prayer. over the Christmas break, I had gotten something for my daughter. It's called sand art. Many of you have seen sand art before, I think. But what you do is you have all sorts of different colored sand. And you take a little, and they come in all different shapes and sizes, but you open the cap and you have a little funnel and you pour different kinds of colors in there, and they make cool little creations at the end. And as I was thinking of the struggle we have, especially many of our kids are in public schools, and we have TVs everywhere, and a lot of them kids have them in their rooms, and they have access to the internet and all this junk on the internet, and I mean, Julianne likes to watch like princess stuff, and once in a while in the past we've put something on, and then all of a sudden she's clicking something, and there's all sorts of junk you can get on, right? From, you know, you go from one nice thing to one that's just like, whoa, you know, and it's scary that I hate to think when they're older. I mean, it's hard enough to deal with this now. But I think of the color of the world and how much of the world's philosophy and the world's ideas and the world's system is being dumped every day into that life of our kids. Into them. And then as I was thinking through this, and I'm thinking, well, how much of God's word and God and his thoughts and his ideas and his word and his love and his truths are being poured in? And unfortunately, so much of the world's being poured in, and so little of it is getting poured in from, you know, maybe you bring them Sunday morning and they go to junior church, and maybe, you know, some of them go to Sunday school and Awana, and some of them are better than others, but you got to do this during the week. This has got to be a lifestyle. This has got to be a love that's passed down to them. God cautioned the Israelites, and a little bit later on, he says, I'm going to be giving you wealth. I'm going to be giving you great, great things. Don't forget. This is so important, because don't forget, you guys can get your eyes on other things, and you'll lose sight of me. And as American Christians, that's what we've done. There's been all this great stuff that we have, and plenty, and so much has been lost as far as our love for God and our desire to serve and please him. We need to take every opportunity we can. We need to evaluate our lives and figure out how we can pour more of God and his word into our lives and into our families' lives. And have a mindset of dealing with everything that you come to with your kids through the lens of Jesus Christ and his word. Through the lens of God's teaching, not the world's teaching. So often, I see Christian parents and Christian people on, again, Facebook or wherever, and they're responding to a situation just like the world is. It's like, whoa, 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 wait, what happened? Let me give you an example. A guy I look up to mightily, his name is Dwight Peterson. He was a youth pastor for a long time and now teaches, is a professor at Baptist Bible College. And he would share personal examples of his life and with his kids. And he would talk about dealing with one of his kids. They were big into sports. His dad was into sports and good basketball player and all that. So he would see his kid have an issue with a coach. And he said, you know what? The coach always knew with me that I was going to back the coach. I wasn't going to back my kid. If I saw my kid doing something, I'm backing the coach. Even if... And again, most cases, but even if the coach is wrong, because God has placed the coach in authority, and God says what? To obey authority. So when we side with our kid over the teacher, over the coach, over whatever, or when we blast the school administrator for this rule or that rule instead of saying, you know what? God says we are to honor and obey authority. Unless they're telling us, obviously, to do something against God and to sin against God. But so often we get in that mindset and we're leading our kids the wrong way. And we're not helping them to see and act through God's lens. And he dealt with the same thing with his son and his sons and their teammates. You know, you're trying to be a witness to them. You need to do your very best in everything. You're trying to be a witness to them. Don't join into their talking. Don't join into their jokes and things like that. love them. Even the ones, if you have one, your son or daughter is getting picked on and has an enemy. Well, what does the Bible say to do? It says to love them. So are we teaching them, hey, what can we do to show that you're bullying me, you're picking on me, whatever? Are you going to bring them something, bring them a present? Would that blow that kid away? Not only the kid, probably everyone else around there, the school teachers, whoever else sees it and hears about it. And the circumstances. You know, he mentioned that one time his son got stuck as a goalie, and he was back there, and the action was all in the front, and it was nothing was happening. So he's over there just kind of like, you know, just and showing that, you know what, this is ridiculous, and I don't know why I'm here. And he said he walked over there, and he said, come here. And he gave his son the what for. He said, listen, you're out here. Sorry. You're showing everyone by your example. You know, everyone knows you're a Christian, that we're Christians. And you're showing them this attitude. You know, God says we're to be an example. So in every area. And I'm wrapping this up. I know famous last words, but last night or Friday night at Winter Jam, had a situation that happened. My wife and daughter were coming, and my daughter was really excited about coming to hear Jamie Grace and Toby Mac, and she was excited, and they got stuck in traffic and didn't get there till late. Fine, by the time they got there, as you know, you pay $10. There's no tickets, so you just pay $10, and then you got to get there in advance because otherwise you may get left out. And so I went there, and I'm staring at my daughter and my wife on the other side of the glass, and I'm like, come on, lady. I'm talking to the lady there. I'm like, I mean, I have two seats for them saved, and she's like, well, the counter, we counted, and we're full. You know, we cannot let anybody in, fire code, all that. And I'm desperately trying to get my daughter and my wife. You know, I'm like, they went through all this work, and my other daughter was sick, and they almost didn't come, and they decided to come. And it was so, made me heart sick as I'm looking at them. And I thought of the finality. You know, so often you can do something, and if something happens, there's something you can do to change that. But there's such a finality there. It's like there's just nothing you can do. It's it. And it's funny because I went home that night. It was late, and it was actually Saturday morning, and I was talking to Julie in the bed there, and she said the same thing. I'm like, go ahead and say it, but I think I thought the same thing as you did. The finality of heaven and hell. And that was a challenge to me to witness and to take the opportunities that we have. Because it's going to be too late one day for family, for friends, for coworkers. We've got to be witnessing. But that was an opportunity to talk to my daughter and Renee, good opportunity to talk to Renee and say, listen, this is why you got to be witnessing. Share your faith with your friends. Because heaven and hell are real, and there's going to be finality. It'll be too late. And we can party, we can be all about the earthly things, but we're going to miss storing up treasures in heaven. And what did Jesus say over and over again? This world isn't your home, you're passing through. Look to that. I want to end with what he wrote here. Man. In the same ways, the hearts of your children are right now being formed by your family life. Your daily schedule is teaching their hearts. Let me say that again. Your daily schedule is teaching their hearts what is truly important about life. Their hearts are being molded by the discussions that take place or fail to take place around the dinner table, in your car, wherever. Their worldview, morality, and faith are all taking shape right before your eyes, whether you see it or not. And this is exactly why it's so important. If they don't get that at home, and they come once a week to Sunday, and they have to sit here, and they're not used to sitting and hearing talk about Scripture, and they're not used to that, then as soon as they get the chance, they're gone. Well, why would you wonder why? When that wasn't a part of their home, that wasn't a part of, and again, that may still happen. We know that our kids have choices, And as much as I wish I could tell Renee and Julianne to do everything I want them to do, we know that's not the case, just like God wants us to desperately do things that we just decide not to do. But we can do the very best job we can and pour that into their lives and to have it in our lives, because we know our actions speak way louder than words. Let's pray. God, I just thank you for your word and your challenge to us. And God, it's such a struggle to be a parent. And because we all feel like failures. We do. We just, with the best job we can is not good enough. And Lord, we're always at odds with them and their choices. And it's hard to let them, especially as they get older, make their own choices and fail. And knowing that if they had just listened, they would have avoided some of those things. And God, we're the same way as your children. God, please help us to follow you. And to start by loving you more with all our hearts and soul, mind, and strength. To love serving you, to love your word, to love it over sports, to love it over fitness, to love it over money, everything. God, help us. And God, help us to be a witness. Because we don't know who we're witnessing to and how it could change not only them, but their family and their family's family. And so on and so forth. God, I thank you for that man that witnessed to my dad. And I thank you for my family being saved. And my mom sang the 23rd Psalm every night before I'd go to bed. And them doing other things to impress upon me the love of God and his word and the love for the church. Help us to do the same. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Amen.